Good morning, friend. Glad to have you join me this morning. Today's edition of The Bible Says is focusing on a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to be picking up where we left off yesterday. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to reread an article that I read yesterday at the end of the broadcast, and I want to show you something. I want you to understand that this is not simply some pointed-headed attitude or some naysayer, some old stick-in-the-mud fogey that just is having a problem with the changing times. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And I also will hit once again this definition for the word please. This definition is coming from the meaning of the word that is translated into the English as please in the expression here, to walk and to please God. The Greek word translated please has this meaning: to accommodate one's self, in this context, to God's opinions, to God's desires, and to God's interests. Now, we have a strange hybrid today that calls itself Christian. And yet, if you look at the very essence of it, you find very little that is worthy of that title, Christian. Yesterday I read an article, or I read an excerpt of an article, that appeared in the January 8th issue of Christianity Today. I'm deriving this short article from a news service that is called What in the World. It's a news service that's prepared by Bob Jones University for the local church out of Greenville, South Carolina. There are all sorts of sources, and everything's documented. So it's not a matter that I'm making this up, and there are certainly, I'm sure you are aware of or could find any number of illustrations to illustrate the same point I'm going to be making. But the article from Christianity Today goes like this: Christian musicians are making inroads into new genres of secular pop music, claims a recent article in Christianity Today. In the past, their claim has generally been balladeers and softer bands. Now, this is a quote. But now, surprise, Christians who play hardcore, thrash, rap, and metal are shooting to the top of secular Billboard charts and landing major tour gigs and broad video and audio play. Okay, did you understand what that said? They're in the field of rock music, Christian bands. And I'm putting that in small case letters, and I'll put it in quotations. I'll put little stars by it, arrows by it, little warning signs all over it, because, quite frankly, the term Christian I don't think belongs there. It's being used as a generic term, not a spiritual condition. Christians who play hardcore, thrash, rap, and metal, these are all forms of rock. They are the heavier kinds of rock. They are extremely... If I use the term rowdy, that may be an obsolete term, but you get the idea, okay? These groups are shooting to the top of secular Billboard charts. Billboard is a magazine, and it rates performances and performers, and bands, and the popularity. It rates and ranks the latest releases that are coming into the arena for airplay. Now, Christians who play hardcore... Now, I have a question. What kind of Christian is going to be playing hardcore rock or thrash or rap or metal? But they use the term. Christians who play hardcore, thrash, rap, and metal are shooting to the top of secular Billboard charts and landing major tour gigs in broad video and audio play. The article goes on. One band featured in the article in Christianity Today is P.O.D., Payable on Death. That's the name of the band. The band has a platinum record and has had tour spots with Korn. That's spelled with a K. For you who are too old to be hip to the present generation's groups, Korn, a group whose shady lyrics and stoned, that is intoxicated, stoned fans would make many Christian parents shudder. Now, if I get into a discussion, or if you and I were to sit down across the table from one another and have a discussion about Christian music, I'm sure that there would almost be as many different conversations as there are listeners. But there would tend to be only two directions that these various conversations would go. Either one, defending the trends in CCM, and those who would deplore the direction it's going. I think it's important that Christians understand where they're headed, what they're doing, and historically what their position is supposed to be. I find that there is this defense usually put forward, the bottom line put forward by those defending the trends in contemporary Christian music, and that is, we've got to change and we've got to become more relevant. Bottom line, strip all that away, and the bottom line is this: we perform it because we like it. We listen to it because we like it. We don't listen to it. You will not hear this. We do not. We listen to it because it is so spiritually uplifting. We listen to it because we are drawn closer to conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. You do not hear that. That cannot legitimately be said of this type of music. You will go back, please, with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, how ye ought to walk and to please God. You will notice that the believers in Thessalonica had received a standard. Paul and those with him had come through Thessalonica, a church had been established, and they laid down the parameters for what was acceptable Christian behavior. Now today, oh my goodness, you can't talk like that. You'll get thrown out of the church. There'll be a new work for the pulpit committee if somebody has enough brass to get up and say, look, this is right and that's wrong. Everybody, you see, there's been a return. The wheel has gone full circle. We're back to where it was in our society. We're back to where it was in the Old Testament before the law was given. That is, wherein every man did that which was right in his own sight. Everybody has become a law unto themselves. There are no standards. Is this not the gist of the movement? When they misapplied Mr. Einstein's theory of relativity to mean there are no absolutes in any realm, in any field of endeavor or interest, my friend, you not only do Einstein a disservice, you also make defense for something that is indefensible. The Bible is the absolute truth. You may disagree with that. You may scream bloody murder about that. You may call me a dinosaur. And all those things may be true, but it's what the Bible says. Now, in one sense, I'm very easy to get along with. And people say, yeah, as long as we agree with you, you're easy to get along with. No. We can joke about that, and in a sense, maybe it's true. But the ultimate standard for what is acceptable to God is that which is revealed in His holy word. The philosophical position of those who support contemporary Christian music is based on self and what self enjoys, what self wants. It is not, nor can ever be said and truly defended, that the direction of contemporary Christian music is because God has led it that way, or because that it is pleasing to God. It has to do with something called prostitution of convictions for the sake of the almighty dollar. If it did not sell, it would not be on the market. That is a basic tenet, my friend, of capitalism. And whether you like it or not, well, that's too materialistic. That's not spiritual. Apply that, please, to the marketplace that is summed up within the walls of the average, quote-unquote, Christian bookstore, family bookstore. There are things there that are absolutely indefensible, inexcusable to be in production, to be available to sale to Christians, except for the fact they make money. They make money. Why? When you have things that are so obviously and intrinsically carnal in their appearance and in their production, in their performance, and this is put on sale and it's snapped up by those who claim to be Christians, what does that tell you about the customer? The client who has money to spend, who spends it on that which is worldly and yet defends it as being something new for Christians, is somebody who is baldly and rankly ignorant, whether it is by negligence, by deprivation, or by deliberate rejection of Bible doctrine, Bible standards, ignorant of what the Bible says. Now, look, I realize that I may be talking to some of you, there may be a good number of you who are somewhat hostile to what I'm saying, because you have found that your groups tend to be on the quote-unquote cutting edge, whether it's DC rap or clays, jars of clay, or Avalon, or Point of Grace, or, and it goes on and on and on and on. And you want to defend these things, but I ask you a question, my friend. In the light of eternity, how will you defend your choices in music? How will you defend the money you've spent on that particular kind of music? How will you defend that before a holy and just God? Because, my friend, that is exactly where you are headed, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're comfortable with that thought or not. It is the truth. The Bible says so. Now, it needs to come back into the arena. What does the Bible say? And when you know what the Bible says, the real sticking point is your will. Your will to refuse the point of view of God. You choose not to accommodate yourself to the will of God, to the desires of God, to God's opinions or His interests. When you deliberately choose to go another direction, by definition, you are displeasing to God. Paul and the others with him had delivered to them how they ought to walk. They established, they gave an established manner of living. They described a discreet and defined blueprint, if you will, for a lifestyle. And they said, it's our desire. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Do you have a growing desire to please God, or do you find yourself striving more to please self? It's an interesting question, and it brings some basic conflicts to the forefront. But, my friend, what does the Bible say?